Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bruce Hurwitz Presents. I'm your host, Bruce Hurwitz, President of Hurwitz Strategic Staffing. You can find us on the web at hsstaffing.com. I hope you will consider us for not only your staffing and career counseling needs, but also take advantage of our speech writing services. This program is brought to you by best-selling author Gil Efron, founder and CEO of Profitability Institute. Gil and his team are dedicated to connecting the dots between marketing and sales, eliminating points of constraint in the sales process, and bringing about extraordinary sales outcomes. Whether cooking up improved results for startups, established businesses working their way through a sales slump, or organizations poised to take a major leap forward, Gil's approach is based on his best-selling book, How to Close More Business in Less Time. You can learn about Gil and how his recipes for success improve marketing and sales efforts at gilefron.com or call him at 813-489-9596. That number again is 813-489-9596. He's always happy to demo how he brings about extraordinary sales success. When you call, be sure to tell him I sent you. Before I introduce today's guest, just a reminder to go to BruceHurwitzPresents.com to learn about upcoming shows and to listen to past interviews. I am delighted to introduce Nicole Hausman. Our topic is Art for All. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Well, it's my pleasure. Please take a moment or two and introduce yourself to our listeners.
So my name is Nicole Hausman, and I'm the owner and CEO of Lumen Art Advisors. We're a full-service art consulting company, and we provide artwork for corporate spaces, hospitals, and we also provide collection management, appraisal, and basically anything that is art-related. My background is I'm originally from Morocco, Casablanca, and my background is in engineering, and it's a long story, but I won't get into it, my journey into the art world. Bruce, for inviting me to this his show, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. Thank you, Bruce.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize that I had accidentally muted my microphone. So it happens.
Okay.
What is art? So I'll ask the question now for the third time, which will be the first time that you hear it. What is art?
Art is an expression, a form of expression that we all can be moved by, and that we all have the capability of expressing ourselves through art. And there it comes in many forms. It could be, obviously, you know, visual arts, performing arts, music. And typically, I would say, you know, from having had a gallery and observed people being moved by art, it's we're all moved by art, and we cannot predict what will move. What type of art will move a particular person, and it's fascinating. So it's a form of expression.
Thank you for that, and that's a good segue to my next question. When you are choosing, this is a business show, so let's stick to an office.
Okay.
All right, not someone's home, because mm-hmm. someone's home, you set everything up the way you want it. But in an office setting, do you choose the artwork, you being the owner? Do you choose the artwork to please you or to please the visitors to your company? Or do you use the artwork to send a message
So it could be a little bit of both, of all actually. If you're the owner, you want to, you're concerned about your visitors' experience into your space. So you'll want to decide what you would like them to feel or to think about your space. You might, if you're a healthcare facility, you want your patients to feel, calm and, a bit distracted by the art in a way, because that will bring the calmness. If you're an advertising company, then you want it to, I guess, reflect in your style, who your company is and what type of work you will do, but it'll be reflected in the type of art that you might want to put in your, what I'm going to say, public spaces. If it's a back office, then you want your employees to feel comfortable, to feel welcomed, or to feel that they are cared for, that there's somebody, took the time to, or they also participated in that process, took the time to, to think about what would please us, when we go and come to work day in and day out, and to make our experience more pleasing. So that really makes a difference in the experience of either the employees or the visitors, or in the case of a healthcare space, your patients.
Now, I'm going to ask you to use your engineering degree. I
Sure.
know that when you move into an apartment and the apartment's empty, there's a lot of echo. And even
Right.
after you get the furniture in, there's still an echo, but that dissipates once you have things hanging on the wall. What are the physical, not really attributes, but what are the positive aspects of having artwork in an office? Can they cut down on noise, things like that?
I mean, it would it it having the art on the wall will dampen the echo in those spaces, which in general will dampen the echo. But it's really pleasing, and it really changes the mindset of
So
the people in this space.
now you've touched on it a little bit, especially like what you said about hospitals.
Yes.
How do you choose what's best for the space? Is it a function of the size of the room, the lighting, the use? How many people
So
are going to be in it?
the subject, there are a few things that you have to deal with. So, do you want a picture of a building, or you want a picture of the beach? That's the first level. And if it's a back office, I think you would want to cater to the employees. I mean, it depends, within reason. I think you want to create a space that will be a productive space and an inspiring space if you're in the back office. So you, in collaboration with the employees or not, will choose things that will suit your purpose, so to speak. And where you put it is, today's offices have very few walls, so we're limited in terms of where we put them. If it's a reception area, usually there's more space to play with. So that's the first level, is the So you have the first level is what's the subject or what do you want to display? Then and there's the where. And then once you have those elements, you can decide on format in a way. So do you want it to be a photograph on plexi, which is a really nice frameless look? Or do you want it to be on canvas with a small frame? It's also a different look. Or you wanted a traditional framed piece, and you try to create like a harmonious feel with the furniture, obviously, and the space that you are putting it in. So
you mentioned productivity. you are educating, and that's why I wanted you to come on. You mentioned productivity. I know that you can increase productivity by changing light and airflow. If you have LED lights or fluorescent lights, and if the airflow is good, productivity rises. If you can breathe and you can see, you work better.
Yes.
What type of art lends itself to productivity?
It depends what, the kind of art, in my opinion, obviously, everyone's going to have I think the kind of art that will inspire are the types of, artwork that you walk in every day and you feel good about walking in. And, that just becomes a part of your everyday routine by that piece, and it just becomes a part of your world. So it could be, I think, a place, or it could be some kind of abstract. And, the great thing about abstract, I think, is that everybody sees something different. But that goes both ways, obviously. So it could inspire or not inspire. But I think places that are familiar, that you connect with, will bring you in this place of familiarity. And I think that will be the types of art. The type of art that will increase productivity. So if you can connect with the art, it's art, but the story or the how you connect to that is what makes it really art.
You reminded me of something I haven't thought of in years. Many years ago, I was assistant executive director of a Jewish federation, and we received a donation of artwork by the artist, paintings that related to the Holocaust and the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And this gentleman was actually a famous artist, and I'm embarrassed to say I do not remember his name. But the artwork was rolled up in his attic, and he passed away, and his sons donated it to us. So the first thing we had to do is just get the canvases into simple frames and hang them on the walls. That's what we were told was the first step before they could be restored, if they even needed to be restored, but to get them flat. So we did that, and we hung these paintings up all around the Jewish Community Center. And when we did, people stopped, they looked, they wanted to, they asked questions, they wanted to know what the artwork was all about. And that, of course, became the theme for our upcoming Holocaust Remembrance Day. We left the art hanging. And after a while, I noticed that no one was paying any attention to the art anymore. Not visitors, or not members. Visitors did, but members didn't and employees didn't. So I got the crazy idea that we should cover all the artwork up about a month or so before the next Holocaust Memorial Day, because nobody was seeing the artwork anymore. It just became part of the wall.
Right.
And then when we covered them up, people came over and they were complaining. And since it was my idea, everybody was sent to me. And I said, well, you know, people don't see it anymore. So we want them to notice it as we're getting close to Holocaust Memorial Day. And that's when we'll take the sheets off. And it worked. Now, after a while, when you see something day in and day out, you don't see it anymore. I'm sure that even the people working in the Louvre don't see the Mona Lisa anymore. It's just there. If it was missing, they'd notice it, but it's just
right
there. So since you're a gallery, and given the example I've just mentioned, wouldn't it be better to lease or rent artwork than to buy, so that you can renew your office space in that way?
Yes and no. I think the fact that people don't stop doesn't mean they don't see it. The fact that they, you know, if you removed it, they would know it's not there and would miss it. The case for the leasing is, the business case for leasing is not quite there. I know that some people do lease, but they don't replace it very often. So when you lease and you say, okay, I'm going to replace it every 3 months, 6 months, I think the people who lease just forget about the fact that they are leasing and just have the same artwork all the time. Because you do get attached to the image, the picture, the placement, the story. So you get attached. That just becomes a part of your world. And I think we can all remember maybe the one piece that might have been in your living room growing up or your dining room area. And you could probably, describe it to the minute detail, because even though you didn't see it, you spent a lot of time looking at it. Or if you saw it now at your parents, you probably wouldn't even notice it. But if somebody asked you, you'd be able to describe it very precisely.
As we discussed prior to the interview, just so our listeners understand, we know each other because we both participate in the same networking group. When we were chatting, you mentioned that there were pictures on the wall, there was artwork on the wall of the conference room where we would meet. And I said I didn't know what you were talking about. So you, were, of course, were correct. On one end, there were, I think it's three paintings that are hung up. On the other end is a television screen. And I noticed the television screen. I never noticed the paintings. Is that a sign that they chose the right paintings or the wrong paintings if I didn't notice them?
This is a conference room. So it's a conference setting and it's a corporate space. And so corporate art tends to be, I'm going to say, more discreet. And what you saw were like drawings. And they're the type of things that you probably need to get close to in order to really see them. Now, if you haven't, maybe you just never walked past the back of the room, I mean, if you always, there are two doors to that room. So if you never come in through the back door, you might not see them, notice them. I think we tend to just see the screen. And, you know, that would be the goal, right? If you're in a conference room, you would want to focus on the show, right? And the show would be where the screen is.
As a matter of fact, the art is secondary. As a matter of fact, I always walk in through the back door, and my focus is always on where am I going to sit.
Exactly.
First, I just look at the conference table to find an empty chair. In any event, let's focus still on hanging art. So a photo, something that's framed and on the wall, how do you choose the frame? Is the frame supposed to complement what is being framed, so the photo or the painting, or is it supposed to complement the wall that it's hanging on?
So... The two options are really the painting for the artwork,
mm-hmm.
or the rest of the space, which would be, you know, they tend to look at it as maybe the furniture or the wall color or the rest of the equipment that's in the room. I think everyone has. Might make different choices. My tendency is to favor the art. I try to stay away from more harsh, like the black frame that really, bounds the art. So I tend to choose lighter frames so that the art becomes a part of the wall and not and that makes it expands the art in a way.
What is your opinion? Yeah, sure. Well, what is your opinion of prints? You know, prints of the masters, a Monet, a Chagall, Mona Lisa, buying life size, by which I mean the actual size of the painting, prints and hanging those on the walls. What message do they send? Is it kitschy? Is it cheap? Or is it an appreciation of the masters? Does it show an appreciation for real art?
It really depends, but most of the time it would lean more towards kitsch, and people just don't seem to, I think there was a time that would look dated today. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
So in some spaces, those are the things that they get taken down and then they renovate and then we put new stuff. So that's the...
Okay, we've covered the wall art. Let's talk about sculpture. We only have 5 minutes left. And there are two types of art that I have seen. One was a fountain. The entire wall was a fountain. Water would flow down into a basin, and then it would be recycled, literally recycled there and then back up to the top. So it wasn't a waste of water, but it was this constant water flow. And I was seated there for about 5-6 minutes waiting for somebody to come. And I did not to be indelicate, but I needed to use the restroom because of the sound of the flowing water. And I mentioned it to the very nice receptionist. She said, yeah, men won't work here. It's as simple as that. No man could last more than 10 minutes. And she made some very funny crack. And then there was art that's a sculpture. And my reaction was, how do you clean something like this? Now, it may be kind of delicate, but it's got to be dusted. How do you choose sculpture for a corporate space?
Well, you know, there are many aspects to consider. They tend to require space, lots of it. And, you know, it's all personal. I mean, sometimes they want, and they know exactly what they want, and they'll say, you know, I saw this, and, you know, I met this artist or something, and they like the work, and they, you know, that's what they want. And sometimes they, you know, they want you to, you know, go look for something, and they give you a sense of what they're looking for. They typically, I mean, you know, most of the time people don't really know what they're looking for. So, you know, you start asking, you ask enough questions until you get a sense, and then you you give them options. Obviously for sculptures, like I said, it's a, you know, it's a very dependent on how much space you have. And then as far as cleaning, it depends if it's an outdoors or indoor sculpture. And so the needs will be different. I mean, you would dust, you can just dust a sculpture inside, but outdoors it's a different process, which I'm not quite familiar with, although now I have a project that will deal with that. So on our next show, I'll have more input on how to deal with outdoor sculptures.
Okay. So on that note, sadly, we only have about a minute left. So before I let you go, please tell our listeners how they can get in touch.
So you can reach me at 212-784-6494. My website is lumengallerynyc.com. And I'd be happy to talk to you. We offer free consultation, so, you know, I can come into your space. Or if you have a floor plan, I'm happy to mark it for you and give you some suggestions as to where, you know, art would have the most impact. And then give you an idea of, you know, cost and, you know, and hopefully give you a budget. Of what to expect,
well, Nicole,
basically.
Nicole, thank you so much for coming on. You've given art lovers and people who may be a little bit hesitant about art a great deal to think about. And so on behalf of all of them, I thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. And thank you.
This is Bruce Hurwitz. You can always reach me at 646-368-5381. Thank you for listening, and as always, keep focused on success.